Welcome to season 5 of Life in the Land of the Ice and Snow.
Is it only season 5?
To be honest, I have no idea what season it is. I just chose 5. 5 sounds good. I'm pretty sure at some point I said 4. I don't know when that was. Could have been 2 years ago. Could have been 6 months ago. We're just going to go with 5. I like 5.
I like it. It's a good number. It's a nice round number. It sounds good. It looks good. It's a really good looking number.
It's a strong number.
You have a thing for good looking numbers, Monica.
I like to write.
It's just sharp and steady at the beginning, but you got that little
curve. Yeah, and then it's got like a little loose at the end.
Little swing.
Yeah. You know, business up top, party down below.
Whoa. That's not the first time you use that.
It's springtime. It's time for new beginnings. It's time for me to thaw out and get the show back on the road. We have a new co-host today. It's an old, I would say an old face, but this is not a visual medium. It's an audio medium. So this is an old voice, and new co-host is Akash.
Hello, Heather. It's good to be on.
Yeah.
And for the rest of you, you can close your eyes and imagine a beautiful face with my deep, husky voice.
It's a very nice voice. So also part of the reason I've asked you to help out here.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So, it's not the face. I get it.
You have a face for podcasting.
Not the best compliment. And that would be the other co-host today, also a very familiar voice. And that is Monica, co-host from the very beginning. So these two are going to be jumping in this season. And for those who maybe don't listen to every episode, which is totally shocking, but Akash, we know from episode 15, Sweden's biggest export is pop, I believe is the name of that episode. And you can maybe fill us in. Why do you think we chose that name for episode 15? Because Akash was very mistaken in that Sweden was going to be a death metal mecca, and it wasn't exactly.
It wasn't. They lied to me.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't get on the boat again.
They sucked you in with lies of death metal, and instead it was ABBA.
No, I think we chose that mostly because I actually still believed that this was going to be a heavy metal mecca. And in the orientation to my university, back in India, they said, it's ABBA, have you heard of it? It's Avicii. And I had never heard of these names. And then they said, yes, Sweden's biggest export is pop.
It's kind of hard to argue with. I mean, this year Eurovision is in Sweden, so I think it still holds up.
Oh, God. Is it?
See,
are you guys not aware of that?
And I still do not know that. No.
No.
Yeah, so no. Eurovision. So I'll back up. We won last year again. Sweden won Eurovision again. Yeah, congratulations to us. We're part of this now, even if we don't watch it and we don't care and we can't name whoever the people are competing.
Who won? Can you name who won?
Loreen. See?
Oh, she won again.
She won again, which I think is kind of unfair. Give other people a chance.
Yeah, but it's not the person that wins, right? It's the song that wins, right?
Oh.
Have I been lied again?
No, it's a good point. I have no idea if she wrote this song or if somebody else wrote it. I do have a little bit of a complaint because I found out who's representing Sweden this year, and I think a lot of people might know this already, but it's 2 Norwegian boys. And this is what I think is wrong, and I don't understand. We don't need Norwegians. We do just fine.
Yeah, they're on the other side of the line. Stay where you are.
Yeah, exactly. You're in Norway, man. What do you need from us? You got your oil. You got your fjords. Leave us to
come up with a third stereotype very quickly.
quickly.
It's hard to come up with a third stereotype of Norwegians that is vastly different from Swedish
cold sandwiches.
People.
I can
You've apparently
that.
Spent more time in Norway than
Those
I have.
Uncivilized beings. Without microwave less their entire life.
That's a new stereotype on Norway I don't think I've heard before.
I was there at work and everybody was just happy to eat cold sandwiches. And like, not just cold, but sad. They had one slice of cheese, one piece of lettuce, and one slice of ham.
That is sad.
They're so minimalistic. the Norwegians. Okay, so that's our new stereotype. So yeah, cold sad sandwiches, oil, and fjords. It's all you got to know about Norway. It's no other reason to go.
Great. Now we've offended one country. Let's move on to another one.
Okay. We don't Who need Norwegian we? Guests.
Let's to Finland. Let's to Finland next.
Finland voted happiest country again. Why? Answer me this. You guys have been to Finland, right? How does this country get voted happiest country? It's dark, just like us, half of the year. It's miserable. The weather's awful. Everybody's falling down just like they are here in the winter. Every winter, I see people on crutches, people with casts. Everyone's falling everywhere. Don't tell me that's not happening in Finland. And then the language, who can speak that? Nobody. Not even Finns. I don't get it.
No, I don't believe it whatsoever. I think the way to get these results is that they call you and they say, hi, we're from the Bureau of Happiness and we're measuring, and you just hang up. Like 90% of sane people just hang up.
But it
like
kind of makes sense.
Yeah, right. It's the 1% is like, yeah, I'm very happy today.
Maybe the Finns are so lonely that they're just happy somebody called and wants to talk to them. So then, I don't know. Or they're like, thank God we didn't freeze to death. We're so happy we're still alive.
Yeah.
I don't know. These are my theories.
I think it's the ultimate keep your expectations low and you won't be disappointed country.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not dead.
They border Russia, so they're just like, every day that we're alive and not getting invaded is a good day.
Exactly.
So what other stuff are we going to say that we're going to completely edit out of this whole... You only have so many hours, you know that, right?
I like this a lot so far.
Right now, it's supposed to be spring, but there is no spring in Sweden, in my opinion, and so... It does give you a bit of a pessimistic view this time of year on why would people even want to move here. We should really start this up in the summer when we're much more positive and it's like, this is the greatest place in the world. Yeah.
You're just trying to manage everybody's expectations on what to expect from this podcast. If you can start here, think how like much more amazing it will be eventually.
The only time I know it's spring is when my partner says, we have to go to Kungsträdgården in Stockholm and take pictures. That's pretty much how everybody's finding out, I assume.
Yeah. I think so. It's like, is it cherry tree season yet? Yeah. And that's like, I don't know, end of April, I believe. So it's not spring. The way that I know it's spring is because the neighbor in the building behind me, he's very overweight. And when it's springtime, he emerges from his apartment onto his balcony without a shirt. And then it's like, it is spring. That's how I know. Yeah. That's signs nice. Of Swedish See, spring.
But that's a happy person right there.
There you I think go.
That's a person who loves just being out.
Yeah, celebrating he definitely warm. Does. Then he just sits there every day from official what he declares spring until about mid-September. And then he goes and hibernates in his little apartment.
He has like a corner on the the balcony that probably gets a lot of sun.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He does. The other interesting sign, which I haven't seen yet, but it's got to be coming at any moment, is going through town and seeing these fools sitting outdoors at restaurants in their coats with blankets on, freezing to death because it's spring, damn it, and we're going to eat outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that. I actually do that.
I do that too.
I actually did that like a week ago. It was my birthday and I really wanted to go to this one restaurant and I didn't think I needed to make reservations, but I did. But they did have outdoor seating. So I ended up having my birthday dinner in a giant big coat with my family, freezing to death, eating cold barbecue.
Cold, sad sandwiches.
Yeah. It was cold, happy barbecue sandwiches.
That's right. You went to Brisket and Friends. What do you think of it?
I did. It's really good. I would say as a Texan, I was very impressed with their brisket, but maybe I've been gone too long.
I think the brisket's good. I think their sides are weird, but I like the meat's good. The meat is good.
They do have mac and cheese, which I appreciate. It's not as flavorful, but with your options here, it's decent enough. A new thing I've noticed is everyone's starting to finally go crazy for American mac and cheese. I don't know if it's like a new thing. When I came over here, I couldn't get anybody else to eat it. They thought it was disgusting. And now, I went to the U.S. recently, and I see Akash raising his hand that, yes, it's disgusting.
It's just cheese and noodles. Come on.
Horrible.
But everyone asked me to bring it back now. I couldn't even get children to eat it. And in the States, it's kind of like a staple.
That's
like
the
every
only
kid...
thing kids will eat half yeah. the time.
But they wouldn't yeah. eat it here. And then it was like, well, I'm not wasting this on you.
Jen, don't waste your Velveeta. Last summer, I don't know if I told you about this when we met up last time, but I decided to go on a camping trip by myself. I really no. wanted to do this Whoa. Like camping, rent a camper and go somewhere and camp. And nobody in my family wants to do that with me. And I also don't want to go to like the Boulder camping thing, which is like thousands of people like lined up like sardines. So I found, and it's Camp Alina, so I can give them a little plug. It's a camper that they put in that they own all this forest land, and they've put this camper in the middle of the forest. So you have to walk like 15, 20 minutes to get to the camper. It has no running water, no electricity, obviously no toilets. So you have to cook your food basically on an open fire. You have the utedask, you know, the outhouse that you go to the bathroom
okay,
in.
Okay, there is an outhouse. There it's is an outhouse. It's not just the forest. Yeah. Okay.
And it's totally secluded. And it was amazing. I spent two nights there, me and my wow. dog.
I had no idea you're a masochist, Molly.
I know. Well, I am so cool. a bit, apparently, because the whole time I was really thinking this will make an amazing documentary when I show up dead.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to, that's what I was going to say.
That took a hard left.
Yeah. Well, Americans always think we're someone's going to kill us, so.
And especially in Scandinavian forest, I mean, isn't that the other thing? We're also famous for great murder
yeah.
plots. And
it was a really good setting, but no, but kidding aside, it's really, really, it was really peaceful. It was really peaceful.
Where is this exactly?
It's outside, it's just north of Örebro. Is that how you say it? Örebro?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's just north of there.
And it's just one camper.
Yeah. So the way they got it there, from what I understand, is there, it's on a lake. And when the lake froze up, they dragged this camper across the lake and put it at this kind of campsite, if you will. It's awesome. I love it. I can't wait to go back.
Take your word for it.
I'm not taking your word for it. Jesus, that sounds frightening.
So I guess kind of after COVID, I think some of the trends are kind of like these secluded eco-tourism, you know, kind of places. And on, I think it's, I actually pulled up the link because I was looking at it the other day. On visitsweden.com, they have actually a section on unique accommodation close to nature. And they have all sorts of like varieties of whether it's like bungalows or cabins or glamping, whatever it is, for if you want to do some kind of like nature secluded, maybe not as secluded. I mean, it's varying degrees of seclusion there. So, and I thought that was cool. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really
I love the idea of glamping. I've done camping once in my life, and then I said, no, actually, no. We do live in different times. We can buy our comforts. So, no to that.
Honestly, that's kind of the way I am. Like, we've invented indoor plumbing now, so why would we want an outhouse? So in Sweden, a lot of people buy summer houses. We even got one a year ago. And most of the people that I visit with summer houses, they do not have a bathroom. It's always like an outhouse. I've even been to one. It wasn't even a proper outhouse. It was just a shed with a bucket. And we were only there for the day. I think I probably got some sort of messed up infection after that because I totally refused
to
use the bathroom.
Wasn't that my birthday party that you came to?
It was a 4th of July party, I think.
It was the 4th of July party. And that's, and we've told this story before.
Yeah, you didn't even have an outhouse. You just had a sheet in the forest on one side that said men's bathroom and a sheet on the other side of the forest that said women's.
But the truth is there was an outhouse, but because, yeah, the municipalities really don't want to take care of the waste as like they used to. So you have to be, it's very particular now how you use those outhouses. So like you can't put paper in there anymore. So it's just dirt. And we have one out of the stables. So it's very rustic, but
I've
specific.
Heard about these special toilets that like burn.
Yeah, the compost things. Ones. Yeah, those are quite good.
That
most
seems
most
like
people
a little...
put those in.
Yeah, better solution. I have to say, when we were looking for a summer house, my whole thing was it has to have a real toilet, which kind of limits you in this country. Yeah. But we managed to find one. It has a real toilet. I was so excited. We bought it after we bought the house. We contacted them about, you know, septic tank and all of this. And that's when we found out that whoever installed that toilet, that was illegal and it should not have been a real toilet. So we had
Wait,
to pay
it's illegal
some fines.
To have real toilets?
a real toilet hooked up to a septic tank in this area because it's too much water, I think, so it fills up too quick or something. So we had to go and get all this stuff done. So, but it's still a real toilet. We just had to pay a little bit. I just don't understand the romanticism with going to an outhouse or going in the forest.
But I want to be clear. I'm not going to the forest because I'm romanticizing about an outhouse. That I can get taken care of. That
in
fantasy happens every time I go to the stables. So I don't need that. The romantic part about it is just I'm by myself, which I completely love to be alone, like reading and just like, I'm a loner at heart. And then it's like, it was kind of like you were talking about it. Like you get used to like the finer things and how quickly, like microwave, like everything goes so quickly. And then when you're put in a situation where you have to boil the water in order to do your dishes, it just slows down time, like your process, like you have to prepare constantly, which was kind of refreshing. Like I couldn't get in a rush because there's nothing I could do to make the water go fast. You know what I mean? Like, so I like that.
That does sound nice. Yeah, just slowing down the rush of the city life.
Yeah,
it is.
And using leaves to clean your butt. Yeah, sounds absolutely a dream.
It's nice to know that you can be self-sufficient, zombie apocalypse and all of this. So it's kind of, it's good skills to fall back on.
I know. I was like really impressed because I wasn't a Girl Scout growing up. So the fact that I was able to make open fire and like cook my food.
No way.
Yeah.
That is impressive. Like,
I gathered blueberries and made a blueberry cobbler.
I'll be honest. I actually do that every summer too. I just wander in the forest and gather the blueberries, the raspberries. And now my little summer place has Smultron. So it's a berry explosion in the summer. But we were talking about, you know, the three of us, we've been here quite a while now. Monica, you and I have been here over 20 years, I believe. Akash, you've been here for like a decade. Do the rest of you feel like you're very Swedish, or do you still feel like you're very American, Monica, or Indian, Akash? Or are you in that weird, like I feel, in a weird limbo? Because I feel like now I'm part of both, but I'm also not. I feel like I belong in each one, but I don't belong in each one.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. And I don't think I'm the only person who gets that idea. I don't know that I'm not used to having commercials on TV anymore. And there and you're bombarded with commercials. Now, this is just a comparison with the States, but it's I'm so used to kind of like what Monica said earlier, like a slower way of life in a way. You don't think about that when you're here, but it is simpler than some other places. Like we have smaller grocery stores with not as much choice, but it's just enough choice for me. I go to the US and I'm completely overwhelmed. I'm like, we do not need an entire mile long row of cereals. And why does everybody have such giant houses? They're only spending time in like two rooms. I don't understand. Why do people need all this stuff? It never crossed my mind when I was there, of course.
The US is special there on like advertisements and just throwing things at you. I was there last July and in California and I saw billboards of lawyers with people's faces on there and say, oh, you in a car accident? Call 1-800 lawyer for you. That's just so weird for me.
Yeah, it seems wrong once you've been here. I never questioned this when I lived there. But even on the TV, it's constant. You know, have you been in an accident? Have you been injured at work? And it's constant all the time. We don't have advertisements for lawyers here in any sense, not on billboards, not on TV.
But have you ever, like, the theme for me that I keep, that really has started, I've started to notice is that, like, how am I living without the medicines, because it's always medicines that they advertise, or it's the lawyer. So like you're either really hurt, you're most likely probably sick. And if you don't take this electrolyte water or eat this cereal or do whatever, you're going to die. Like it's always like,
it's the message
so weird.
They throw at you everywhere. We only go for like 2 or 3 weeks, but you get bombarded. You're like, well, do I need this medicine for
How am I alive?
I'm also tired. Why don't I have this?
My Ica-branded cereal is just fine.
Yeah. But, you know, I went home in February, and within 3 days, I ended up getting really, really sick. I only went home for like a week for my mom's birthday. I was going to go to their birthday party, everything. So I get super duper sick and I have to travel like 4 days after that. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I need to go to the doctor and see if it is something I can take to feel better before I get on my flight in 4 days, because I don't want to be with the flu and be on a plane. So they, of course, have doctors that can come to your home there now, and it's all the same price. That's either that or the doc in a box, because of course we're not getting covered there. And so this nurse practitioner comes, she takes...
Doc in a box?
Yeah, that's what they call the doctors, that the 24-hour ones on the corner.
On the corner? On the
Which corner?
All the corners. Because everybody's sick, remember?
I'm just imagining like a little booth, like, you know, the old photo booths, but now it's just a doctor inside.
That's pretty much what happened.
What?
You don't call, they don't call, that's what they call them in Dallas, at least. It's hilarious. It's these 24-hour, you know, emergency care centers.
Oh, yeah, the emergency care centers.
Yeah.
Actually, they have all these billboards I saw in Houston, for one, and they're advertising the 24-hour care centers as great snacks, free coffee.
You're sick and you're hungry still.
Of course. I don't want to go to the good hospital. I want to go to the one that has the great snacks.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So she tests me and whatever, and I'm like, it was just the flu. And, you know, in Sweden, you literally need to have a fever for, 7 days and can't breathe, and then maybe they'll come in and help you. But most of the time, they're like, just take some Alvedon and you'll be fine. So I know this. So she comes in. She's like, well, it's the flu, and I can give you a steroid shot as well as this, like, Tamiflu thing. It was a one-day pill, and it'll help speed up the symptoms for you to get better. I'm like, well, I'll take whatever I can to feel better. It did not work. I mean, I think the steroid shot probably made me feel good the next day a little bit, but I still ended up being sick for like 2 weeks. I was like, you know what? I think there is something around the way the Swedes kind of, I mean, I'm not saying that the healthcare system always works here, and I'm not obviously ignorant to that, but there probably is some truth in the, you know what? If it's the flu, like, it's just, you got to like let it run its course. Try to treat your symptoms the best you can. And I had to go to the doctor a couple of weeks later for something else here. And I said, you'll never believe what I did. But I told him, he's like, well, hell, I'd do it too if I was in the U.S.
On the flip side, it's still, this is where maybe I am too American. It annoys me so much that you can't get a decent cough syrup without having to go to the doctor. Because I think if you live in Sweden, you know there is only one cough syrup that works, and it's the one that has the morphine, and you have to have a prescription. And I don't care anymore about trying to pretend that I don't know this. And I, when I am very sick and I go to the doctor, they'll say, well, we have like two different cough syrups. I'm like, the one with the morphine. I don't know what the name is. That's all I want. I don't want anything
Monica,
else.
I think this is where Heather's admitting she has a morphine problem. There's no reading between the lines here.
And you thought my camping was weird, huh?
Have you tried the morphine cough syrup? I'm just saying. But you can't just go to a pharmacy here and they sell cough syrup, but it's just sugar water. There's nothing. Anyone you talk to here will tell you it doesn't work.
You can't get good cough syrup in the States either. It's the same stuff.
What, the Vicks? I mean, I import all that. I think me and a lot of other people, we're bringing in the NyQuil. We're bringing in the DayQuil.
Importing?
You're smuggling drugs.
I'm using the word importing, not smuggling. Importing.
But have you ever compared the ingredients in those compared to what you can get here? You can make, it's all the same stuff. Like,
make our own NyQuil?
You can make your own NyQuil. The Alvedon is the same like level of strength as the one here. Both are the same. Like, it's all the same now, because the U.S. has tightened up to what they're selling over the counter now too, you know.
Oh, really?
But all I can't do the
practice my Netflix bit here. When you guys get caught for making your own like moonshine drugs, I was there in the podcast. These two women, they were just going on and on about putting chemicals together.
I wanted to be clear, Heather wants this stuff. I don't smuggle in NyQuil or DayQuil.
Hey, I'm just trying to help my fellow immigrants here to be healthy. Yeah. That's all. Yeah, I think that'll be today's tip. How can we make our own NyQuil?
I didn't look it up. I'm
just
the one
kind
that wants
of,
it.
Actually, I'm thinking it's probably more like just buy a bottle of vodka. It's probably about the same. You'll sleep. Your body can heal. It's
definitely.
I think it works
the
same way.
Are drinking.
Yes, they're the happy ones. Maybe we need to hop over there. You know, Finland has a Taco Bell.
Yes,
that's probably another reason they're a little happier. Not that Taco Bell is great, but you know, it's one of those homesick things.
I think I went to the Taco Bell when I was there.
In Finland.
In Finland.
I went to the Taco Bell in Barcelona. That felt really stupid because I'm in a Spanish country with wonderful Spanish food. But it was just that, oh man, I haven't been to a Taco Bell in like 2 years. I've got to do it. I also went to a Popeye's Chicken in Madrid. Any fellow Americans out there who are wanting some food?
I have no idea what Popeye's is.
Oh, it's the best fried chicken. It's so good.
I tried Chick-fil-A for the first time in my life.
Ooh.
And I am a believer. I think that stuff is good for you. You get to put it together. The sauces, that was like new to me. They just give you a chicken patty, and then you put the sauce on top of it. That's the thing that makes it yours.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
I was floored. Yes, California.
Akash, how do you feel? Do you feel like, what are some things that you're still sticking with that come from your Indian culture that you're still like, I'm sorry, but we just do it right here and the Swedes are doing it wrong? And what are some things on the flip side that when you go back, you're like, oh God, why don't people wake up and do it this way like the Swedes?
I think the one that just pops in my mind is like celebrating somebody's birthday.
Uh-huh.
The Swedes love doing the whole hurrah the morning. Like the first thing you wake up, you sing happy birthday. And that's when people are pissed because you forgot my birthday. You didn't call me at 12 in the night. That's just rude. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I will sing happy birthday the minute it's your birthday, not 8 hours late.
So you stay up until midnight to wish people happy birthday.
Yeah, for sure. That's when you do the cake and the hurrah. And that's the celebration.
What? I'm at midnight, like 10:30. Yes. I can't do that.
The second it becomes your birthday, officially.
Oh, we've been doing it wrong, Heather.
I think so. But I'm too tired for that.
Me too.
You lose so many friends in India if you just do that.
Wow. Okay, so this is totally new to me. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Really? Hmm. You don't even do this in the States?
No.
It's
when you wake up the next day. So
you
want to
maximize birthday day.
That's the thing. Yeah, the cake cutting, everything. The cake comes in at 12:01.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you like, you throw a party that basically starts the day before, but super late? So you have friends to do this, or is this just family celebrates at midnight?
I got friends, real ones too. Yeah, they're all in it.
Wait, I've got friends, real ones too.
What does that mean?
So if we turn, if 9th
oh my God,
your
that's
going to
be so amount of my things I say from now on. I have friends, real ones too.
Are you so copying funny. That? It's yours.
Okay, but so we got to back up here. So you basically throw a party that starts the day before, but must start very late, I'm guessing, so that everybody's
on
there
the
at midnight.
On the day off.
So the party starts at midnight.
Yes.
Okay, so my birthday is March 5th. So let's say that then I would invite everybody over. You need to take a nap on March 4th because you got to come to my house. You got to be here at midnight, right when it starts
Something
midnight,
like that.
March 5th.
Yes.
Because we're eating cake. I mean, I guess for cake, maybe I could stay up. But then how long do people stay?
Hey, it's a party. What do you mean?
That doesn't answer my question. What if you have to go to work the next day? My birthday was a Tuesday this year.
It's
I had to go to work.
Birthday. You can be late. It's a little bit like that. Yeah, yeah.
What time do you start work usually in India?
Actually quite late. Yeah. Even though I've never worked, I know people get into the offices around 10 a.m.
Okay.
And start by like 10, 11, something like that.
Okay.
So, this is something I think we should adopt in Sweden. I like this.
No, that's the thing I like about Sweden, actually. People start at like 8:30 and they're done by 4.
Yeah.
And you can like do a whole another thing after 4.
Yeah,
like have a birthday party at midnight.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like this has been productive, informative. So I think we're going to put these out maybe about every 2 weeks. You can keep an eye on new episodes and we'll try our best to get some guests maybe from some places we haven't had before. I would say our tip today was Monica's strange murder camping adventure. If you want to do that outside of Örebro, what was the name of that again?
Camp Alina.
Camp Alina.
And it's very nice. You're not going to get murdered there. It was just my Americanness. Now I feel bad.
Okay, so a plug today for Camp Alina. You're not going to get murdered there. That's their tagline.
And we should mention, if people want to be on the show, hit us up.
If you're an immigrant to Sweden, or if you're a Swede who would like to yell at us, just send us a message on one of our social media platforms, and we are happy to have you as a guest. We do remote recordings, so you don't have to put on makeup. You can just be you and ramble all you like about your strange journey here in Sweden. Ask questions. We'll try to answer them. Yeah, we look forward to making a lot more episodes. And I look forward to talking to you guys.
Ditto.
So click like and subscribe on on your TikToks, on your Facebooks, on your Instagrams.
Your spoken like a pro.
I'm having to keep up with all of those three. Plus, both of my cats have an Instagram account. This is a lot of work for me.
That's more work than I would put in, for sure.
I know. I mean, yeah. those poor cats. They tried to do it themselves, but the paws are just, you know.
Useless.
It doesn't make much sense. I know.
Useless.
What good are they? Why did I even get them? All right. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you all. Talk
Bye.
Soon. Bye. Bye.